so beautiful. I just caught up in the presence of God. There I am. I'm live now. Wow. It's a beautiful day today. Amen. And I'm so honored and privileged to be here this morning to be able to just join you all in the presence of God. And every time I come to this house, I've been saying ever since Pastor Dominic brought me here, I always feel the love of God in this house. Always feel his presence. And that's a wonderful thing, because there's a lot of churches out there that don't experience God's presence and God's love. But this church does. This house does. Amen? Praise God. Well, my name is Minister Randy. I'm from the Lamb Community Church. And I've been with Pastor Dominic for 5 years now. I'm wearing his shirt, Rescue and Revive Ministries, representing him. Amen? He's a wonderful man of God, a wonderful brother, and a dear friend. Been so close and helped me in so many ways. So he called me this morning unexpectedly. I was just getting out of the shower and shaving and getting my coffee, and the kitty's running around, and the phone rings. I said, who is that this early? Well, it was Pastor Dominic and his beautiful wife from Venice, Italy. So he sends his greetings to all of you. He told me to tell you all that he loves you, he's praying for you, and he misses you. And he's looking forward to seeing you, but not right away yet. He's still got some more of Italy to see. Amen. He shared with me that his mission is over with. He went over there to take his dad's ashes over there to where his dad was raised. And lo and behold, he ended up meeting his dad's best friend that he knew him since he was 12 years old. So they had a wonderful time. And now he says the new honeymoon begins. So they're in Venice, Italy. That's the only city in the world that is built on water. Amen. The only one in Italy. And I said, you're gonna go out? He goes, oh, yeah. He said, we're going to go. It's not expensive over there, which I was really amazed. He shared some of the prices with me. I'll let him share all that. I don't want to take his thunder. But he just wants you to know he loves you all, and he's very honored and everything. And I want to share something with you. You should be so grateful and honored that you have a shepherd and a man of God such as Dominic DeNisi. Amen. To watch over your souls, because that's what he does. He watches over you so that wolves don't come in. Amen? We're going to be talking a little bit about that this morning. When he asked me to share this message, I was like, wow. Okay, I got to do some studying, because I know there's some Bible scholars here. And I know there's people here that are more knowledgeable in the Word of God than me. Because I always say I'm the least of the saints. Amen? But God has called me to preach His holy Word, and I'm so grateful. And I want you to know something. I love the Word of God. I really do. I love it. I cherish it. To me, it's holy and sacred, and it's all we have that God wants us to have. Amen? I don't care what anybody else says. There's nothing outside of God's holy Word. Amen. Nothing. Amen? Well, we're going to be talking about today the Church of Thyatira. I hope I'm saying that right. And I understand that you've been going through the book of Revelations, and you've been discussing the seven churches of Revelation. That's wonderful. And let me tell you something. There's a lot of churches today that don't teach this kind of stuff. They don't want people to know, and they're afraid they might lose people and things like that. But I'm so glad that this church preaches the Word of God, the whole counsel of God. Because the Bible says it's the Word of God, it's the truth that will set us free. Amen? All right, I got a lot going on in me, so I got to settle down and get ready to teach and share the Word. So let's just open a word of prayer real quick. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for these precious souls. Thank you for allowing them for me to come and be able to be trusted to share your Word. Especially Revelations, because in the beginning of this book it says a warning. Whoever adds or subtracts to this prophecy, those plagues, he will suffer. So, Lord, I pray that you would use me to teach properly, orderly, and let every ear hear and every heart receive. Hide me behind the cross. Holy Spirit, you speak, and Jesus be glorified as only he should, in Jesus' name. And God bless Sister Alma. Thank you for that beautiful worship. Wow. She was at Follow the Cloud, and she moved the clouds, the rain clouds that came. So if you will, if you have the Word of God, I trust you do, if we could turn to Revelations chapter 2, we're going to begin reading at verse 18. I got a lot of scripture to read, then we're going to break it down and see what the Holy Spirit has for us. Amen. Revelation chapter 2, beginning with verse 18, it says, unto the angel of the church of Thyatira. I read the King James, apologize, but that's what I read. Write these things, saith the Son of God, who have eyes like unto flames of fire, and his feet as like fine brass. I know thy works, and love, and service, and faith, and thy patience in thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest or allow that woman Jezebel, which called herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication, to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Verse 22, I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the minds and hearts. I will give unto every one according to your works. But unto you I say unto you, the rest of Thyatira, as many as have not this teaching, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you no other burden. But that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my words unto the end, to him will I give the power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron as the vessels of potter. And they shall be broken to pieces, even as I have received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. Verse 29. And he that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Thank God for the word of God. Thank God for the people of God. Amen. I just read the account of Revelations and the church of Thyatira, where John was given this vision by the Lord himself. Amen. Because he is the head of the church, as you know, and you've probably been learning that. He's in the midst of the church. The Bible says he's in the midst of his church. He always watches over his church. Now, Thyatira, most of all the churches, he always complimented them. He always gave them praise. He always gave them encouragement. Amen. Well, there's a teaching there, because, see, God wants us to know if we're doing right, he encourages us. He's pleased with us. He was pleased with this church. Thyatira was a political and a culturally city, finding its identity and economically with guides dealing in metals and fabrics. Some Bible scholars say that in this place they made purple, scarlet threads and fabrics. So we can imagine, and many of them even said, there was probably a lot of dignitaries and royal people that went there and bought this fabric, because purple is a sign of royalty. So it was a very prosperous economic city where this church was there. But then it goes on, it says, but it glided, it celebrate the patron deities and festivities of, so Christians may have been tempted toward the prophetess who advocated in participation in illicit sex and food sacrifice to idols. So we're going to see that this church was had a lot of bad things going on in as well. Amen. So in verse 18, we'll go to that real quick. And it goes on and it says, and unto the angel of the church of Thyatira, write these things, saith the God, who has eyes like the flame of fire and feet like the fine brass. What is Jesus saying to the church? He's saying that I have eyes of fire that can see into the soul and into the heart of man, can read way deep down inside of what's going on in our lives. And he says, I see what's going on in this church. I see what's going on in the people's lives. It also stands for judgment. It stands for his judgment, his eyes of flame of fire, that he will judge his church. Amen? And he would judge the wicked. It also stands for his feet as fine brass. It's mentioned in Daniel. You can see it in Daniel and other places in the Bible, that his feet were as brass because they stand for the judgment of God. They're unmovable, unshakable, unchangeable. God doesn't change his word. He doesn't change his word for the culture. He doesn't change his word for anything. He says, I am the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, and I change not. So he's letting us know who he is. He's letting the church of Thyatira
know who he is. And he goes on in 19, he says, I know thy works and love and service and faith and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. So here he is saying that this church was making progress. See, a lot of churches make progress. A lot of churches do the works that Christ called us to do. But for some odd reason, they stop. And this is what happened to Church of Thyatira. They were serving, they were loving the people, they were ministering, they were doing what God called them to do. But then it says that they stopped. And what happened? They didn't have no discernment. They didn't have any understanding of spiritual things. And sad to say, a lot of churches today, not this one, I'm not talking about this one, but I'm talking about the church as a whole. See, we're just a small part of the body of Christ. The body of Christ is all over the world. It's worldwide. And there's so much things out there that people, Christians, don't have discernment. They accept just about anything that some man or woman stands behind this holy pulpit and proclaims. And this is what happened to this church. It was a tragedy because they were doing what Christ wanted them to do. Christ even said, I'm pleased. You're doing, you're serving, you're loving, you're patient. You're doing what I called you to do. But here it comes, the tragedy. Verse 20. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou allowest that woman, Jezebel, which called herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, and to commit fornication, to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Now, I don't know if you understand, I'm sure you do, but you got to realize when Jesus called this woman the Jezebel, Jezebel in the Old Testament was the most evilest woman in the Old Testament. She was evil. She killed the prophets of the Lord. She did so many horrible, wicked things. She led the children of Israel to worship Baal and to sacrifice their children to Baal and human sacrifice. I mean, just very diabolic, evil things. And Jesus says, you've allowed this woman to come into your church and begin to seduce the people. Amen? So that shows they had no spiritual discernment. So let's come to our modern days, because that's what I want to talk about, because that's where we live. We don't live back there anymore. That was 2,000 years ago. We're now 2023. We are in the end of the last days. This was the beginning of the last days. Many of you know that. When Christ died and resurrected, that was the beginning of the last days. Now it's been 2,000 years since that happened. Now we're in the end of the last days. We're in the days where we begin to see the church falling into apostasy. We begin to find the church falling into compromising. And here we see this church 2,000 years ago doing the same thing as happening today in 2023. We don't have to look far. You don't have to look too deep into things. You can see the craziness and the foolishness that's in the body of Christ today. We can see how so much things are so ungodly and being accepted by the church today. Compromise, lukewarmness. In other words, adapting ourselves to the culture that we live in. And that's what we're not called to do. We're called to bring the culture into God. Not God into the, you know what I'm trying to say? We don't fashion our life after the culture. We fashion our life after God. And this is where this church failed. They allowed this prophetess to come. And many Bible scholars said that she was a large number of responsible critics required Jezebel as a symbolic saint or spirit of pride or self. How many churches, how many different groups are talking about self-motivation. It's good to take care of yourself. It is. But we got to understand that Jesus says we must deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow him. Amen? This spirit that came into this church was a spirit that brought self-recognition, self
exaltation. She exalted herself. And that's what happens when people get taken over by that spirit of Jezebel, as this woman did, this prophetess. We begin to exalt ourselves. We begin to think that we're doing something. We begin to think that it's us doing it. Amen? And that's what's happening in a lot of churches today. But I'm here to tell you something. Jesus said, apart from me, we can do nothing. Nothing. And that is something that I love, because I know within myself, I can do nothing within myself. I can't stand up here before you, precious saints, and teach and minister God's word to you. It's only the Holy Spirit. So this is a symbolic spirit of pride. How many know that God hates pride? Pride was the fall of Satan before the earth was ever created. Pride was found in him. And what did God do? He kicked them out of heaven. Today, we have a culture that is so celebrating pride, celebrating self, celebrating anything that's against God today. This is what we see. Amen? Hope you agree with me, because it's true. I'm going to say something. I hope I don't offend nobody, but gay pride is against God, man. The church should not accept it. We should have nothing to do with it. We should pray for those people. We should intercede for those people. We should love those people. But we should never condone their sin. We should never condone their lifestyle. My ministry that I have on the streets, they come, and I love them. I give them food, give them something to drink, pray with them. But I don't condone their sin. Amen. And they tell me, they says, you don't judge. No, I don't judge. God's word will judge. But I'll let them know. If they ask me what their lifestyle is according to God's word, it's sin. It's sin. And this prophetess, when she came into this church of Thyatira, she began to destroy this church because they were serving, they were loving, they were doing the works of Christ. And all of a sudden that woman, and they say, most. I look to scholars, they all say she was a woman. She was a woman. It wasn't just a spirit, it was a woman. That was a prophetess, but she had the spirit of Jezebel. She had that spirit of pride and the things that Jezebel carries. This spirit will come against all authority. Amen? It'll come against all God's authority. It'll come against the pastor. It'll come against the leadership. It'll come against anything that opposes it. It will come against anything that's of God, because it wants to exalt itself over the things of God. It wants to exalt itself over leadership. It wants to be number one. It wants to be the person who everybody looks at and thinks wonderful and great. Amen? I've seen some things in churches, man, where, you know, I've seen the picture of the pastor behind the pulpit, and I've seen these big chairs where they sit in, and I've seen people dust them off. And, you know, it's good to serve your pastor, but you don't make them like a god. You don't make them into somebody who is, you know, more than you. Because one thing I always tell people, we're all equal at the cross, man. Amen. We're all equal. Nobody's better than anybody. We may be better off than other people, but you're no better than me, and I'm no better than you. Amen. Really, I'm not. Maybe I have a position in the body of Christ to be an evangelist and a minister. Amen? But that don't make me any better than anybody. But this spirit, this woman here, she was making herself to be great and above everybody else. And that's not God. God doesn't want that. He says we're all equal. There's no favorites in the kingdom of God. There's no partiality in the kingdom of God. That's the beautiful thing about God. There's no race, there's no color in the kingdom of God. He loves us all equal. We have the problem with race and prejudice and all those things. It's us, it's within us, not God. But so many people blame God for these sins. It's got nothing to do with God. It's diabolic. It's sin. It's a spirit that's literally possessed in our culture today. Literally possessing our culture. I stopped at a red light downtown coming from getting food for my ministry, and there was a young man, and I asked him what his story was. And he says, man, I just want some money.
And I went to speak to him. I don't want your, you know, and he just went off. And he had a club in his hand. I thought he was going to hit my van. But that's how violent he was. I just wanted to talk to him. And he got so violent toward me. I don't want your Christianity. And this is what we're seeing today in society, church. We are the bad guys now. We're the ones that they hate. We're the ones that they want nothing to do with. We're the ones that's called racist, fascist. We're the ones that's called all these names. And all we want to do is tell them the truth. All we want to do is try to help them not go to hell and get them out of their sin so they can really enjoy true life, which is in Christ Jesus. So that's what this spirit does. This is what it was doing here. It was ruining this church in Thyatira. It was ruining it. So it comes against all authority. So if you're around somebody and they try to come against your authority, they try to come against your position, they try to make you look bad or whatever, get away from that person. Get away from that person, because that person is going to try to destroy your life. And I know Dominic would never let a person like that come in this house, nor the elders. I know that. And you should be so grateful to that. So grateful. Because there's so many churches today, man, they're being swallowed up by the culture. They're being swallowed up by all these evils that's being accepted. Some of you are older than me. I'm 62. There's a few older in here than me. When have you ever seen the things that's being accepted in our country today? Even 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Never. Never. She claims, or this spirit will claim, superior holiness. That's when it gets me. Holier than thou. Look at me. I'm holier than thou. I do this and I do that. Guess what? We don't get to heaven by any works. We get to heaven by God's grace. But out of our love for the Lord, out of our love for God, out of our love for what he's done for us, we want to do whatever he calls us to do. We want to serve. We want to love people. We want to help people. We want to feed people, or whatever God calls us to do. She wants to worship him in front of the church. That's what she wants to do because she loves the Lord. I want to preach and teach because I love the Lord. I want to go out in the streets and tell everybody about Jesus because I love the Lord. Those are different. They're not works to get to heaven. That doesn't make me holier. That doesn't make me better than you. But this spirit will make itself, present itself like it's better than you. It's more holy. You can't get close to it. You can't touch it, you know? And that's garbage. That's garbage. That's garbage. And I see it. I see it in the city all the time. All the time. Got 20 names by their title. Yeah, I mean, come on. How many names do you need, man, to be this prophetess, this pastor, this apostle, this? Come on, man. That's ridiculous. God is not pleased. That's why the world laughs at the church, because they see this foolishness. Really. Think about it. They see it. I've had people come to me and they go, well, I don't want to go to church because there's a bunch of hypocrites there. I said, well, listen, why don't you just come? Maybe you can change. Maybe you can do it. Maybe you can change it. Maybe you can do something different there. But if you're looking for a perfect church, you'll never find one, because we're imperfect people serving a perfect God. We all are imperfect. We all have hang-ups. We all have issues. We all have struggles. And if you say you don't, the Bible says you're a liar. The Bible says if I don't sin, then you're a liar, because the Bible says that. If any man says he doesn't sin, he's a liar. We all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. But the greatest thing about it is we get convicted, because our conscience has been made alive by Jesus Christ, by the blood of Christ. And we repent. We should. Don't stay in your sin. Don't stay in that. Come up out of it. Amen? So nobody's holier than anybody. I've seen some things on social media where they carried a pastor in on a chair. He's sitting in a chair, and he's got two guys on each side, and they're carrying him in. It's like, what is this, Lord? My gosh. Run from that stuff. But pray for them, because they're lost. They're not saved. They're lost. You know, I've been to Africa a couple times with Pastor Dominic. I've had the privilege, and God, by God's grace, I may be going back again.
And we see a lot of crazy stuff over there too. But there's a plague that's hit Africa, and that's the prosperity gospel. That's a gospel that says if you give, you'll get back from God. Now, yes, there are principles when you give, God does bless, but he only blesses so you can be a blessing to other people, not so you can be rich and famous and hoard everything up to yourself. I heard a preacher, I won't mention his name, I just heard him yesterday. He said that he gave a whole lot of money so God would be in debt and God would owe him. Wow. I couldn't believe he said that. This is the foolish things that's in the church today. He said he gave everything he had so that God would owe him because he would be in debt. God doesn't owe us anything. Amen. He doesn't owe us anything. We owe him our loyalty, our love, our affection. We owe him everything we have. I tell people everything I have is not mine. I don't own a thing, nothing. It's all his. And I like it that way.
Hallelujah. Also, it will bring legalism. Wow, that's a good one. Legalism will follow immorality. And that's what she brought. She brought legalism. She brought all kinds of rules and regulations and restrictions. That's not supposed to be in the church. Amen? We're supposed to work with one another. My position in Christ is to better edify and build you up, and you build and edify me up, and we grow together, and we learn to love Christ together, and we do the works of Christ together. That's what it's all about. I'm no special person. That's it. But she will bring legalism followed by immorality. There's a teaching out there now. I'm going to say it. There's no kids here. It teaches that you can have a relationship with a woman or man before marriage. There's nowhere in the Bible where it says that you can't have sex before marriage. This is what they're teaching now. Because it doesn't say sex, but it says fornication. It says perversion. I mean, it's got it all in there. But because it doesn't say sex, they are accepting it now. And they're teaching our young people in churches that it's okay to have sex before marriage. It's not. We know that. The Word of God says no. But because of sin and our choices and the enemy and the perversion, things have got all twisted. And this is what this spirit would do. This is what this prophet was doing. The Bible clearly says that she has seduced my servants to commit fornication. She seduced the men to say it's okay. Go ahead. And that's where Jesus was very upset about that. I got to hurry up because I don't want to take too much time. And then also she taught to eat things that were sacrificed to idols, to foreign gods, to images that God hated and hated from the very beginning when it first started in ancient Israel. I've just been reading Jeremiah, and God is so upset with him now. He's getting ready to send him into 70 years captivity. And Jeremiah is weeping before the Lord. The Lord says, don't even pray for the people. Don't even pray for them because I'm done. They're going. And they did. They did go into captivity. But we're under God's grace. But Paul said, just because we're under God's grace, it doesn't give us reason to sin. Right? Amen? So this spirit will be led by legalism and will fall into immorality, will fall into sexual perversion. This is what happens. Jesus was upset because they allowed this spirit, this woman, to come into the church. They had no spiritual discernment. Today, if anything you ever pray today, church, pray that God gives you discernment. That's a prayer that I pray. Lord, give me discernment so I know what's of you and what's not of you. I have so many people come to my ministry who want to preach. I said, let me see you serve first. Come, pray with people, feed people. Let me see you serve for a while before you get behind the pulpit. I tell people this is a gift from God. Real ministry is not the preaching of the word, but it's getting down in the dirt with a sinner and loving them and praying with them and ministering to them. That's ministry. That's what Jesus did. This is a gift. to do this. But real ministry is so much more than the pulpit. But a lot of people got to twist it. They think being behind the pulpit and preaching and teaching and all that's ministry. No, it's not. It's not. It's not. Verse 24, and he goes on and he says, forgive me. Verse 23, and Jesus went on and he told the people what he was going to do with Jezebel. He says, I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the mind and hearts, and I will give everyone according to their works. What he was really saying, I looked that up, because that was pretty drastic. He said, I will kill her followers. I will kill the disciples that she develops, that she makes. And when I read that, I says, Lord, what does that mean? And what I really came up with was this. You see, they thought they were going to go to a bed of pleasure, a bed of delight, a bed of satisfaction. And so many people today think that's what they're going to experience when they go into sin. But no, they were going into a bed of affliction, disease, and sickness. That's what came out of that. When they went and followed Jezebel and joined her and began to do all the evils and immorality in the face of God and all the people in the church in Thyatira, God says, wait a minute, I can't allow this. And he brought sickness, he brought disease and affliction, and they died. And all the church knew that it was the Lord. Let's bring it to modern times. What happened when the homosexual group began to do their deeds in California? I think it was Las Vegas or Los Angeles. AIDS. AIDS killed millions. Thousands of people were killed because of AIDS. And then it went into the heterosexual because all that perversion. What did God do, man? God brought sickness and death to bring. We got to be real about this. Let's be real, man. Where did it come from? It came from sin, but who allowed it? God. God allows everything. Nothing is done in the earth without God. He allows it. He uses it for his purpose. He uses evil in the word of God for his purpose. He doesn't bring it, but he'll use it. He used armies to discipline Israel. What makes us think that he's not going to use things in our life to discipline us? And he did. And thousands died. Thousands died. Because they went into that bed of, they thought it was a bed of pleasure and a bed of whatever, but it became a bed of affliction and disease and sickness. And many died. Many died. And then you still have all these other diseases. Because God never meant for man to be with man. He never meant woman to be with woman. Never created that. Goes against his creative power. It goes against his creative makeup. We all know that. And he never created man to sleep around with every woman or woman the same. No, one woman for one man and one man for one woman. That's the way it should be. Amen? Praise God. Jesus also told them, okay, verse 25, excuse me. It goes on in verse 24. But unto you I say, unto the rest of Thyatira, as many as have not this teaching and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you no other burden. What he was saying, he's saying, you that have been faithful, you that have been loyal and committed to what I've called you to do, and you haven't been dabbling into the depths of Satan, we should have no business looking into darkness. We should know our enemy, but we know him through the word of God. We don't have to look far to see sin today. That's one thing. Satan is no longer hiding in the corners anymore. He has come full bloom. He's come right out there, and he's not hiding anything. So we have no business looking into those things. That's what Jesus was saying. Because you haven't searched the depths of Satan, he says, I will put no other burden upon you. I'll put nothing else on you. I'll allow nothing else to come upon you because you're being faithful. You're being trustworthy. You're coming to the house of God. You're living for me. You're loving me. You're witnessing. You're trying to build your community for Christ. And you're doing things for me. He said, I won't put nothing else on you. I'll keep you. I'll protect you. That's what he was saying.
long as we don't dabble in the darkness. If you get close enough to the snake, he's going to bite you. And Satan's a snake. And he's just waiting for his moment to nail us. Jesus, or the word of God says he's like a roaring lion, right? Seeking, going to and fro throughout the earth, looking who he can devour. He's just waiting for that. And I know, believe me, I know, there's so much temptation out there, especially on the phone, you know, dear God, and computers, all that stuff. There's so much evil, so much perversion, so much ungodly things screaming at us. Screaming at us, look at me, look at me. And God says, no, don't do that, because then I have to put something on you. I have to discipline you. You'll get bit, and you don't know how bad you're going to get bit. Been there and done it. I'm not going to lie, been there and done it. My life was a chaotic life before I came to Christ. I experienced just about everything there is out there to experience. That's why I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, there's only life in Christ. And I tell everybody wherever I go, outside of Christ is death, destruction, no life. I remember when I came back to the Lord this time, almost 7 years ago, I said, Lord, I says, why is things different now? He said, son, in my heart, I hope you believe God does speak. He speaks. And he put in my heart, he says, because when you were out there, you were only existing, you weren't living. See, when you come to Christ, you live. But before Christ, you're only existing. And time just keeps passing by and passing by and passing by. But now I'm living. You're living. We can enjoy the presence of God. We can enjoy his word. Get in his word every day. Get in that word. I've been getting in the word every day now for almost 7 years. Every day. I can't miss a day. If I do, man, my life is all discombobulated. But this spirit comes in to destroy everything that God is doing. 25, but that which ye have already hold fast till I come. I love this. What was Jesus saying? He was saying, hold on to all as long as, he says, Jesus also told them how long to hold. What to hold? Hold on to your faithfulness. Hold on to the teachings that you have. Hold on. Be committed. Stay loyal. Don't be dibbling and dabbling in sin. Do all that. Hold on. But how long? And he loved it. He says, till I come. So we got to hold on. Till he comes or we go to be with him. Whatever happens first. That's how long we got to hold on to. Amen. 26 says, and he that overcometh and keepeth my words unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. It says this, the obedient believer will be given a reward of power or authority in the millennial kingdom as he reigns with Christ. That's what we have to look forward to, church. Nothing but glory. There's nothing ahead of us but glory and God and eternal life and the millennial reign of Christ. We're going to live and rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years here on this earth. Think of that. And the Bible says it'll be like Eden, right, Brother Tom? It'll be just like Eden. All creation will be at peace. And we will rule and reign with him. I don't know how it's all going to be, but I know one thing. I'm looking forward to it with a glorified body. And as she was, we'll be able to see him face to face. Can you imagine? I can't even imagine to be able to look upon him. I don't even know how that's going to happen. But it's going to happen because the word of God says it. Rule and reign. We'll have authority. Over what? I don't know. Whatever he gives us authority over. But we'll have so much. So much. You know, I'm only 62. Some of you are older than me. But, you know, as you get older, don't you kind of start looking toward eternity? You sit on a car and say, hey, man, I'm going to be going there pretty soon. Amen? I have no roots in this world. I cut roots off. We shouldn't have anything roots in this world. None. Cut them off. Because this world is not our home, church. Our world, our home is with the Lord. We're just pilgrims passing through. That's all we are. Heaven is our home. Wherever the Lord is our home. Wherever God is our home. And Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And he's been preparing it for 2,000 years. What a place it's going to be. But if we stay faithful, we'll be there. It'll be our home for all eternity. That's what we got to look forward to. Verse 27, I'm almost done. And he shall rule them, he, us, shall rule them with a rod of iron, and vessels of potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And we will be given the morning star. The morning star is Jesus, his presence. We'll be given Jesus. He'll be there, his presence. We'll be in his presence. It's going to be beautiful. I'll be able to see my dad again. My dad prayed me into the kingdom. 30 years, prayed. He died before I came into the kingdom. But now, one day, I'll be able to see my dad. I don't know if he knows what I'm doing now. I pray he does. I don't know. I'm not going to get into all that. But I do know this, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When we leave this body, we're with God. Waiting for the redemptions of our body. Waiting for that new body. Why? One more thing and I'm done. Because our human flesh could not stand or endure the glory and the holiness and the purity of God. That's why Jesus says no flesh and blood can enter the kingdom of God. We have to have a transformed body. We have to have a new body or we would be disintegrated. And I can prove that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I think 5, he says, when Jesus comes back, he says, this by his brightness, he will consume the Antichrist and all those who follow him. But why? Because they're in their flesh. They don't have their glorified bodies. Think about that. Very true. And I will give him the morning star, and he that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Amen. Amen. Thank God for your word. Lord, thank you for allowing me to share it with these precious souls. And Lord, thank you for the holy promises that are in your word. Lord, let us take your word serious. Let us know, Lord, that every promise is yes and amen for us. Because we're your bride, you're our husband. One day we'll be married to you. We love you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.